Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, March the 18th. An absolutely beautiful day here in North Texas. Temperatures are probably in the 50s. There's a lot of sunshine. I think, you know, we don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched, as they say, but I think spring is here. And it should be here in full force over the next few days. Just absolutely lovely day to be outside. Not to be inside, but to be outside, have lunch outside, maybe go out to the park for a little walk. Just absolutely lovely day. I have a post coming out Tuesday morning about Trump's re-election chances, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. The Democrats are, I think maybe what we're learning this year about the Democrats is not so much a Democrat problem as it is a system problem. I think these campaigns are starting way too early. And in doing so, I think a lot of these candidates actually lose out because they have to take positions way too early. I mean, we're talking, it's like 19 months, 20 months before the election, measuring who can be a good president or not. But let me begin with a couple of stories that were in the news here over the last few days, and that's this the stuff about New Zealand, what happened down in New Zealand. Look, it's horrible what happened in New Zealand, and our hearts, our prayers are with the families of those people who were killed. Absolutely horrible what happened down there. There's no other way to describe it. But it's pretty bad, too, and people are blaming President Trump for this, as if somehow President Trump's rhetoric inspired this guy to go in and kill a bunch of people. I mean, that's insane. I have no idea who's promoting that, but you're hearing it at CNN. You're hearing it among some Democrats, and I'm sitting there saying, gee, what exactly did President Trump say to provoke something like this? But it's not even President Trump who's getting blamed for this. Chelsea Clinton was also being blamed for what happened down in New Zealand. Of course, Chelsea, the daughter of the former president and Secretary Clinton. And I'm sitting there saying, Chelsea Clinton, what are you blaming her for? Well, apparently she criticized this lady up in Minnesota, the congresswoman up in Minnesota, who is a Muslim and so on. So, I mean, I think people need to dial it back a little bit. These are terrible things that happen. These tragedies are absolutely terrible. People need to dial it back a little bit and say, you know what? No. You don't criticize President Trump for this or say that his rhetoric inspired this any more than Bernie Sanders' rhetoric inspired this guy to go to a baseball stadium or a baseball field and start shooting Republicans. You remember that. I think he did kill somebody or hurt somebody pretty bad, one of the police officers who was there, and he almost killed a Republican congressman, Steve Scalise. So I think we got to dial it back a little bit. And when these tragedies happen, no, let's not blame people for this. Let's just blame the guy who did it. He did it. Nobody else did it. He's the one who came up with the idea. He executed the idea. It was a terrible thing that happened. Maybe in retrospect, what this really teaches us, instead of politicizing all of this, what it really teaches us is that at the end of the day, when somebody goes into a place and he wants to kill somebody or a group of people, the only thing that will stop him at that point is somebody at the door with a weapon or somebody inside with a weapon. But once he's inside and he's shooting people, there's no gun law that is going to stop that. So maybe that's the lesson we should be learning out of this whole thing. Well, let's talk a little bit about President Trump and his reelection. You know, we're March 2019, so we are, what, 20 months, 21 months from the next presidential election. It's not always very easy to predict 20 or 21 months ahead what's going to happen. And I say this because President Reagan at this time in March of 83 was not doing very well. President Clinton in March of 95 was not doing very well. And President Obama in March of 2011 was not doing very well. Those three men had just come off a very tough year, very tough midterm election, and their prospects were not that great at this moment. So when we look ahead, let's remember that predicting 18, 19 months into the future is a little difficult thing to do. I mean, those three men, Reagan, Clinton, and Obama, were reelected, and yet their reelection didn't look that good or that likely at this point in, you know, 18, 19 months before their reelection. But some new numbers came out that should give the White House some pretty good feelings about their reelection chances. And this is a poll that they took among Republicans, and it's a big sample. I've never seen a poll with that big of a sample before. The sample is 58,000 people, so that's a big sample. I have not seen a poll, I cannot recall one, with a sample that big. And basically what the poll is saying is two things. Number one, President Trump is holding on to his base. So the Republicans who voted for him in 2016, the ones who are supporting him right now, intend to vote for him and support him in 2020. That's a big foundation for any reelection. And the other thing that the poll is telling us is that there's no appetite in the party for a primary challenge. Nobody's sitting around saying, you know, maybe somebody else should challenge him and maybe there ought to be a primary challenge, as happened when Bill Clinton at this time. There were a lot of Americans, a lot of Democrats who wanted to see a challenge to him in the primary. So right now, President Trump is actually sitting pretty, I think, with respect to his reelection. Now, he's not there yet, obviously. He's not there yet. He's got to get maybe, I think, about 3 or 4 more points of the popular vote so he can be around 50. If he's around 50, he's going to be easily reelected. But he's not there yet. He's in the high 40s. He's not quite there yet. But he's clearly in a better position than I think you would believe if you watch the media and you think that everybody hates him. Well, some people have strong feelings about President Trump, but that doesn't mean they're going to vote for a Democrat. And that kind of leads us to the other problem. Zogby, the pollster, was saying that what is really helping President Trump right now is the Democrat field. I mean, if you take a look at the Democrat field, what do they stand for? I mean, what is their alternative to whatever President Trump is doing? Opening up the border? I mean, it's easy to criticize President Trump on the border, but what's the Democrat plan? We don't really have one. And I think that when you have a political party or you have candidates who all they're doing is telling you how much they hate Trump, I think at some point, that's going to end up helping Trump. Because as I said before, he's going to get his base out. And the independents looking at all of this, they're going to say, you know what? I may not like Trump. I may not like all those tweets. I may not like all of that. But, you know, I'm going to stick with him for another 4 years because at least I know him. At least I'm familiar with him. Whereas the Democrats, I mean, they're coming out of nowhere with some of their ideas. And frankly, what ideas other than just increasing government and all these, you know, Medicare for all, Green Deal, all this stuff that nobody can explain to you how they're going to pay for it. So, again, I think that President Trump looks pretty strong right now. Again, it's not conclusive. It's not final. It's likely, as they like to say. Likely. I like that word. It's likely. But I think it's likely that he's going to be reelected if things continue the way they are, meaning the economy and everything else going around. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from our friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlo's website on the show information. Just click under the show description and you'll see the link right there. Well, we remember a couple of the great musicians of the last 50 or 60 years. Chuck Berry was born on this day in 1926. He died in 2017. I mean, what could you say about Chuck Berry? He was in many ways the backbone of rock and roll. Obviously, Elvis was the pretty face and a great singer and a very charismatic fellow. But I think it was really Chuck Berry who wrote all those great songs that made rock and roll rock and roll. And it's interesting because the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, many of these groups recorded, the Dave Clark Five, many of these groups actually recorded Chuck Berry songs when they first came to the United States. So Chuck Berry, I think, in many ways, from a musical standpoint, the electric guitar and everything, I probably the most influential. Clearly, Elvis was a better marketing material than Chuck Berry, But Chuck Berry was clearly, I think, the backbone of what we now call rock and roll. We also remember Wilson Pickett, who was born on this day in 1941. He died in 2006. Great rhythm and blues singer, soul music, as they used to call it back then. I loved him. I thought he was fabulous. He was absolutely fabulous. I never saw him live. I did see him on TV several times. And I bought several of his 45s. Mustang Sally was one of my favorites. Land of a Thousand Dances was another one of my favorites. And I tell you, he probably did the best cover of Hey Jude that anybody did. Hey Jude, of course, was one of those songs that everybody wanted to do, but only Wilson Pickett really was able to do it and actually put it on the radio. So Wilson Pickett and Chuck Berry, a couple of the great musicians of the last 50 years that we remember today. Let's talk a little bit about Beto O'Rourke. As you know, he's running for president. Apparently did a good job raising money his first weekend, and that's good. But I find it very troubling. There's a story that came out that Reuters, the news service, had some information about Beto and some information about some activities that he was engaged in and some things that he had written and some things that he had done. And they decided to hold it until after the election with Senator Cruz. Again, at the end of the day, maybe it wouldn't have made any difference and Cruz would have still won. I think that's probably what would have happened anyway. But I think that it would have been a tough one for Beto to overcome in the middle of the campaign. I mean, he had a kind of a free ride, I think, for most of the media during the campaign. And I think a story like this about some things that he had written and some organizations that he had been a member of, they held it back and they said, no, we're not going to publish it until after the election. I don't know. I don't like to criticize without knowing everything. But I think the reporter there is going to have to explain it. If I was Reuters, I think that I may want to have a chat with that reporter and all of my reporters saying, hey, we don't do deals like that with politicians. We don't sit down with politicians and say, okay, we're not going to publish this until after the election. Especially information like this that I think would have been difficult for Beto O'Rourke to handle. I don't know. As I said, I don't know that it would have made any difference. He won by, I guess, 400,000 votes anyway. So I don't know that it would have changed, but it could have added a few more numbers to Ted Cruz. So I can certainly understand that Ted Cruz people are not happy about them, and that's an understandable feeling. Let's talk a little bit about President Trump. He was tweeting today. He was very angry at Saturday Night Live, and he was also angry at Senator McCain. Let's talk about Saturday Night Live first. Look, it's obvious to anybody watching that political humor is different now than it used to be. Political humor, the one that I remember, Johnny Carson or David Fry, those were people who basically gave it to everybody. I mean, Johnny Carson was very elegant about it. Nobody ever got angry with Johnny Carson about his political humor. And David Fry was hilarious. I used to laugh to tears when he'd do Nixon, when he'd do Reagan. I mean, he'd do Carter. I mean, he would do everybody, and it was just absolutely hilarious. The political humor with President Trump is not that way. It's a lot more, it's a lot meaner, it's a lot more partisan, and as I said this morning, it's a lot more political than humor. And I can certainly understand the president getting disappointed about that, but there's nothing he can do about Saturday Night Live. Just drop it. There's nothing he can do about it. Now, the back and forth with McCain, I don't really follow this one. I understand that John McCain look, I was very disappointed with Senator McCain when he voted at the last moment not to repeal Obamacare. I thought that was a very bad move on Senator McCain's part. But look, the guy is dead. You know, Senator McCain is dead. He died a few months ago, as you know. And I think for President Trump to somehow keep going back to this and then getting into a fight with his daughter over John McCain, I just find that to be not very intelligent on the part of President Trump. And my suggestion to President Trump is just drop these things. Just let them say whatever they want to say and move on. You've got bigger fish to fry, and you've done a lot of good things. Talk about those things and forget about these comedians or whatever Meghan McCain is saying about you. Just forget about it. It's not worth your time. Thanks for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.